This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauly and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We come your way from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. Aren't those words wonderful to, at least for me, they are wonderful to be able to say. I hope for you, they are wonderful to be able to hear. We welcome you into the program where KMOX is going to be on the ground and on site for the duration of spring training. I'll be here for about the next 4 weeks, and then Tom Ackerman will come down to handle the final couple weeks. And, of course, folks like Mike Claiborne and John Rooney and Ricky Horton are going to be here as well. Claibs is already here. John and Rick, they are going to be making their way in as we get ready to get Grapefruit League games on the air. But with the Super Bowl taking place yesterday and pitchers and catchers reporting tomorrow, we can officially move forward and talk baseball. And I'm glad to be able to do that. So we're going to be doing a lot from here every night. We will originate the program from here in Jupiter and try to give you an idea of everything that is going on. As always, if you want to chime in on anything, you can do so by calling, texting, or tweeting. If you want to call the phone number or text for that matter, if you want to call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air, and you can leave a voice message if you are listening via the Odyssey app. So, if you've got any questions about spring training and what to expect over the next 6 weeks, we can certainly get into that. We will talk a little bit of football as well as we go through the program. We are going to talk with Michael Yam coming up in just a few moments. We're going to kind of put a final touch on the Super Bowl, but we are going to be doing mostly baseball here on this program moving forward. A couple things. Let's start with this. It was an interesting day. As I'm getting on my flight this morning at about 8:15 out of St. Louis, all of a sudden, social media is blowing up because there is a report out there that Nolan Arenado had reported to Jupiter and had reported to camp. And it is a pretty normal, standard type thing for position players to show up early. A lot of them come into the there's a local baseball gym here in the area, Cressy's, that a lot of guys will come to the area and just work out there, and they won't even spend much time at the facility until everybody ends up getting here and going forward with it. But so it wouldn't have been crazy for that to happen, but. It seemed a little bit off when we heard that Nolan Arenado was here, and then turns out that report was actually incorrect, and Arenado is not here. And actually, Kyle Sixt, our producer, he and I were texting a little bit, and we were talking about the idea of whether or not it would be a surprise if Arenado shows up. And I still think it would be a surprise. I could be wrong on this. I'm wrong on a lot of things. I could be wrong on this. But I don't think that we are going to see Nolan Arenado in Jupiter. I think a deal is going to get done, and I think they are going to move on from him, and it's going to happen before he gets to a point where he would report. So we'll have to wait and see on what's going to happen. Obviously, the Alex Bregman thing needs to get itself figured out before all is said and done. But I don't think we're going to see Nolan Arenado here. I would think that if the Cardinals feel like they're even close to a deal, they would probably even advise Nolan to, you know what, you don't have to report right on time. Let's let this thing play out. Now, from an optic standpoint, I think the worst thing that could happen is they tell him that, and then a deal falls through, and then he has to come in later. I mean, from an optic standpoint, that would look absolutely terrible. But I don't think we're going to see Arenado in Jupiter. Not that it's impossible, and we've still got a little bit more time before position players are going to report. But that was the story of the day: the initial report that Arenado was here, and then the correction of that report that he was not here. And we'll talk a little bit more later on in the program on what that might mean for the team as they try to get things figured out. We'll also start to look at some of the different position battles that we can expect. You know, we're here. We can start doing these conversations a little bit more now, which is fun, where we can throw out the idea of, if this guy's in this spot, what does this mean? Are they going to focus more on offense or defense? Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest keys for this team this year is, do they have an offensively driven lineup or do they have a defensively driven lineup? If they're focusing in on defense, we probably see a Michael Ciani in center field. We probably see a Pedro Páez behind the plate more often. But if they make the decision that there's more value in having more depth to the lineup, I think there's a good chance that Lars Nootbaar is out in center field and Ivan Herrera is spending more time behind the plate. So these are the kind of discussions that we are going to spend our time with here. If you've got any thoughts, again, you can text into the program, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call, that's how you text, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. But before we officially close the book on the NFL season, we're going to talk with NFL Network host Michael Yam. He's going to join us in just a moment. We'll get his thoughts on what turned into a kind of a one-sided, not kind of, just a flat-out one-sided, unentertaining Super Bowl as the Eagles just roll all over the Chiefs. That's up next. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back at it. We are live from Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training, pitchers and catchers reporting tomorrow, and we are going to be on the ground here in Jupiter from right now until spring training coming to an end here in 6 or 7 weeks. But before we can go full on baseball, we still need to put a bow on what happened from a football standpoint. The Super Bowl yesterday, it was not much of a game as the Eagles roll over the Chiefs, and with that, very happy to welcome back onto the program. You see him on NFL Network. You follow him on Twitter at Mike_Yam. He is Michael Yam. Michael, thanks so much for spending some time with us tonight. How are you?
Always appreciate the invite, Matt. Not necessarily the game I think most had anticipated, but you're right. I think this is definitely worth the conversation to put a bow on what was a pretty one-sided affair.
Yeah, I think everybody is now saying, and it's easy to say this after the game, okay, well, you know, Kansas City had all those games that they shouldn't have won during the year, that they found a way to, you know, just kind of steal. Well, we should have known who they actually were compared to an Eagles team that had just an incredible top-to-bottom roster. And I think that's true, but there's no way to really know that before that game takes place.
No question. I think there's a part of that. And look, I don't think anyone can go back and say, hey, Kansas City isn't a good football team. I mean, if I'm being totally honest, I do think that there were teams like the Philadelphia Eagles, like the Baltimore Ravens, and I do understand there was the head-to-head matchup, you know, those two teams, the Detroit Lions, where I would point to those three teams specifically and say they look like more complete football teams than Kansas City. I also think we fall victim a little bit to this media attention. Look, Patrick Mahomes, we were jumping the gun on the legacy thing. I mean, Lord knows, I couldn't even tell you how many hours of shows we did at NFL Network this past week. And, you know, at one point, I actually turned to a couple of our producers. I'm like, hey, guys, like, we got to spend some more time on Philadelphia. We keep talking about Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Like, these stories aren't going anywhere, and I get that, but I don't know if we're shedding a light on what really has the potential to be a dominant football team in the Super Bowl in Philadelphia. And I think because of that national narrative focusing in on, you know, is Mahomes the GOAT, I think that skewed the perception a little bit, and I think maybe that's why some people are a little bit more surprised by the end result of the game.
I'm not trying to dismiss anything Patrick Mahomes has accomplished. I'm thoroughly impressed with everything he's done, as everybody should be. But at the same time, small body of work for Jalen Hurts in his NFL career, pretty darn impressive what he's done in a short amount of time, too.
You know, it's actually really interesting that you bring that up, because last night I'm sitting there and I'm watching him on the podium. And, you know, one of my biggest like pet peeves just in general is like, you know, this idea that we're, you know, slaves of the moment, for example, and we're talking about, hey, is this the greatest of all time just because it's right in front of us? And, you know, the reality is, as I'm watching Jalen Hurts on the stage, and I go, you can't compare these guys' resumes, right? Like, of course it's Patrick Mahomes. Of course, you know, we can actually have that conversation of the GOAT at 29 and all the things that he's accomplished, just getting to these Super Bowls, being a dominant force, the Super Bowl MVPs, and kind of remaking his game as his career has evolved. Like, there's so many positives there. But I think to your point, we probably should be talking a little bit more about Jalen Hurts. You know, 2 years ago when he loses to Mahomes in that Super Bowl, we went back and we showed on NFL Network a lot of those throws. Like, this dude was absolutely surgical 2 years ago. And I think people forget, like, I get it. It was a bump in the road a year ago for that organization. And I know people were calling for Nick Sirianni's job and, you know, is the seat warm? And here it is, you know, all these months later, we're talking about him being a, you know, a Super Bowl winning head coach. I look at this team though, Matt, and I say to myself, my God, like, Jalen Hurts is still the guy that can lead a team, be a Super Bowl MVP, and maybe not rely on throwing it a million times like he did a couple seasons ago. I know they rode Saquon and it made sense, but when they needed plays to happen on Sunday, Jalen Hurts is ready to make those plays. So I'm with you. I think the body of work is not Patrick Mahomes's, but there's no question. Like, you know, I think based off of last year, we stopped talking about Jalen Hurts being like that next great second coming quarterback, even though he was runner for MVP, you know, 2 years ago.
Kansas City obviously has relied a lot on Mahomes, on Andy Reid, on Steve Spagnuolo, three of the best in their respective positions in the entire NFL. But they don't have a true number one receiver. They have an offensive line that could not keep Mahomes upright last night. Like, is it very clear what Kansas City needs to do now this offseason to get back to where they want to be?
Look, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, right? Like, we can point to some of the deficiencies here. You know, they were able to figure out offensive line play, and it almost felt like, hey, guys, like, we figured it out in the second half of the season. It's going to be fine. Like, no, there were some structural issues that we saw in the first half of this past year, and I think that's a testament to Andy Reid and to Patrick Mahomes that they were able to navigate some of those things. But you're right. You know, that top-flight wide receiver, and by the way, like, went through some injuries. Like, we didn't necessarily think that this was going to be the receiving core for this team, prompted the trade for D-Hop, and I know that maybe didn't play out the way many of us thought it would play out, but to me, it's offensive line. It's, you know, sort of a playmaker at that wide receiver spot. You know, again, we're talking about a rushing attack that wasn't really there. Philadelphia's defense really bottled up anything that they tried to get going coming out of that backfield. But that was an ongoing issue the entire season, right? Like, that's, we're not talking about a 1,000-yard receiver. We're not talking about a 1,000-yard rusher. So I do think there's some things that are obvious that we can point to. And I'd also say this, like, that front office has done such a masterful job drafting young studs on the defensive side. And I can't help but think that the identity of this team, in my opinion, and Matt, you're there, like, and I know that fan base is close to you, and I still look at the defense as what's carried this team. And Mahomes gets a lot of the credit because he is 15 and he is magic when he's out there. But I don't think they get to the Super Bowl last year without that team's defense. And I don't think they get an opportunity, you know, to win a game like that yesterday, getting to the Super Bowl without that unit and what Spags has been able to cook up. So I do think adding a little bit more depth would be important for this team. But first and foremost, most of those issues I think they're going to have to figure out through the draft and free agency are going to come on the offensive side.
It's also a reminder, Michael, it is borderline impossible to win three of these things in a row. It's going to be tough for a team to go do that.
It totally is. I mean, it's kind of to the point where, like, we know we haven't seen it done before. I was doing a show with David Carr this week, and off air, we didn't have this conversation on air, but I turned to him and I said, you know, David, you see a world where, like, Philly just smacks him? And he paused and he said, you know, I've been thinking through this. And I turned to him, I said, I see, like, Kansas City can win a close game against these dudes. Like, they have all year. Like, they've beaten teams close. I don't see Kansas City blowing out Philadelphia. I did see a Philly blowout, and I did see a Philly close win. I just didn't know if the personnel on the roster matched what that result was going to be. So I think, to your point, you know, on top of just what the rosters and these teams look like, the idea of winning three in a row, like if Brady couldn't do it, for example, I mean, just think about, like, all these great teams over the years. Like, we ran this great essay. If you go through, like, the decades on the teams that have had success, you can go to the Steelers, for example, and just insert, like, your dynasty type team. There's always something that happens during that season, and usually it's because of injury. And I think that's the one thing that stands out to me with Andy Reid this year, how he's been able to navigate some of the attrition and maybe a lack of firepower in key spots. And yet we were still talking about them on the precipice of making history. It truly is remarkable. And I know Kansas City fans might be sitting there and super disappointed, and I get it, and it's understandable. But I do think there's something to be said for what this team was able to accomplish this season, which really was impressive. And they're not going anywhere. Like, Mahomes is still kind of a kid out there, right? Like, he's not even 30, he's 29. You know, like, he's got a lot of legs here. And I would trust that front office and that coaching staff to figure it out and close that gap and get back to the game again next year.
You might disagree with this, but to me, it feels like there's five elite teams in the NFL, AFC, with Baltimore and Buffalo and Kansas City, and then Philadelphia and Detroit on the NFC side of things. Is there any reason to believe that any of those teams would drop out, or any other teams would kind of step in to what those five teams have been this past year?
It's a great call. God, I got to go through, like, the mental Rolodex. Like, Baltimore, to me, has been sort of the team to beat because of how they're set up structurally. Buffalo, I thought the way that they were able to navigate some of the losses personnel-wise this year is kind of eye-opening, if I'm being honest. The one team I would throw in the mix, well, maybe like two teams I would throw, three teams. How about this? I'll give you a healthy San Francisco team, right? Like, maybe they could figure things out again. I mean, that was, it's well chronicled, all the issues that they've had to their roster. But San Francisco, I don't think, is that far off if they're healthy. If Green Bay, with a young quarterback and a young receiving core, like, I think there's some potential for that team to take a big bounce next season. And then I'll throw Houston into the mix, that I think candidly probably underachieved a little bit this past year. And I do think there's an opportunity for them to have some success. And if you said go real deep, what the Rams do and what they get for a Cooper Kupp, and if Matthew Stafford comes back, might be one of the most intriguing storylines of this offseason heading into next year.
At some point, Sean McVay is going to say, you know what, TV looks more fun than coaching. He was so good. Every time I see him on TV, it just feels like he could be the biggest superstar in television if he chose to be.
And look, those paychecks are pretty good, and you're never wrong, right? I mean, that's kind of an impressive thing there. I don't know if he's quite there yet. I think the win, look, I mean, down the stretch, I mean, Stafford had an opportunity in Philadelphia. That would have been two road wins in the postseason for the Rams. Like, they had a chance in Philly to go and take out that Eagles team. And candidly, I actually thought it was going to happen. They were going to be able to force overtime and pick up a win there. They're close. And the only other thing that I would add there, they were the walking wounded for the first 5-6 weeks of the season. And people don't realize it, because a lot of times, like, they get, hey, Cooper Kupp was out there and banged up and wasn't healthy for most of the season. And Puka Nacua was banged up. I think it was like weeks 2 through 7 or something along those lines. Like, we'll gravitate towards the stars, but look at their offensive line. I mean, they were losing starters. I think that first week of the season, they might've lost two guys there. And then, another two guys in week 2, had those guys been healthy all season, I got to be honest with you, I think there's a chance that they were a one seed this year, and maybe are the team that we're talking about getting to a Super Bowl. But, you know, it didn't play out that way. But you're right. I think Sean McVay, whether he's on the sidelines or in a booth or in a studio, is going to be entertaining for either the fans of the Rams or just football fans in general.
You see Michael Yam on NFL Network. He's all over the place doing a bunch of other things as well. Find him on Twitter at @Mike_Yam. Michael, thank you so much for the time after I know it's been a really busy time for you and all your colleagues. Appreciate it, and hopefully we can catch up again down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Awesome. Very good. That's Michael Yam joining us here on the program. You know, there was a little controversy before the game actually got started. I want to get back into baseball, so I'll hit on this real quickly because I thought it was kind of funny. John Hamm, St. Louisan, John Hamm was the one who was on the field introducing the Chiefs onto the field. And first off, I thought to myself, oh boy, the anti-Chiefs people, the anti-NFL people in St. Louis are going to go nuts on this one. And there's an individual on Twitter. Like I think I always say this. I always put this disclaimer on. I understand people in St. Louis who do not like the NFL, and I understand people in St. Louis who don't like the Chiefs and kind of are off put by the fact that the Chiefs in many way have kind of taken over St. Louis. I get that. And if you feel that way, that's fine. I'm not going to be mad at you for feeling that way. I don't like how those people tend to almost shame people in St. Louis who do like the Chiefs or who do like the NFL. That's where I think it goes a step forward. Do whatever you're going to do. I'm not going to be mad at you, and I understand the path that you're taking, but I don't like the whole let's shame everybody who does like the Chiefs. Let's shame everybody who does like the NFL. So there's a guy on Twitter, Bob Underwood, who he and I have gone back and forth about that before. So I had sent out a tweet asking, how are the anti-Chiefs St. Louisans feeling about John Hamm introducing the Chiefs onto the field? And Bob's response was, never want to see him at a Blues or Cardinals game again, speaking of John Hamm, which seems a little intense to me. That seems a bit over the top. But again, that's how many of these people feel. To me, the bigger story was, why? Like, why was John Hamm chosen for? If I was a Kansas Cityan, is that the right way to say that? I would have been offended by the fact that they did not find a fellow Kansas City person to do it. Just off the top of my head, because I tweeted this out last night. Off the top of my head, the names that very quickly came to me from an acting standpoint, who are from Kansas City or from that area or connected to the Chiefs: Jason Sudeikis, SNL alum, Ted Lasso, Paul Rudd, obviously, maybe he is the most famous. Rob Riggle's a Kansas City guy. David Koechner is a Kansas City guy. Eric Stonestreet is from that area. Those are just, and I'm sure there's more. I'm sure there's very many more. But just off the top of my head, those were the names of people that I could come up with very quickly who I connect to Kansas City. Now, maybe the NFL was looking for like a more dramatic type person because they went with Bradley Cooper for the Eagles, and Cooper, while he does do comedic stuff, he can obviously do serious stuff as well. John Hamm does serious stuff. With all due respect to Jason Sudeikis, Paul Rudd, Rob Riggle, David Koechner, and to a lesser extent, Eric Stonestreet's an incredible actor. He can probably do just about anything. And those other guys can do a lot of stuff too. I don't know. And it felt odd. Which of those guys that I just named, and I'm sure I'm missing some famous actors, and I'm sure I'm missing some famous like dramatic actors from Kansas City. How does it? Who at NFL offices says, okay, you know what? We're going to get Bradley Cooper for the Eagles. He's so connected to Philadelphia. You think about him. You think about Philadelphia. Who should we get for the Chiefs? Let's go with John Hamm. Who says that? What's Hamm's response when he gets that phone call? Is he surprised by it? I'd be almost off put by it. I'd do it. Like, I don't blame John Hamm. That was a pretty cool thing to be able to go do. But what's the response when that phone call comes in of, hey, we'd like you to introduce the Kansas City Chiefs at the Super Bowl? So that was an odd choice by the National Football League. Very odd choice. And I would guess, again, the names I came up with who fit better, Jason Sudeikis, Paul Rudd, Rob Riggle, David Koechner, Eric Stonestreet, I think all of them would have been happy to do it. Now, which of those guys are Kyle Sixta when I name the, like, Sudeikis is a household name. Rudd's a household. Those guys are just as famous as John Hamm, right? Maybe not Riggle, Koechner, but Stone Street. Like, Sudeikis, Rudd, and Stone Street, aren't the, would you put them in the category of being as famous as John Hamm?
Yeah, I would for sure. And I think I saw Paul Rudd. He was at the Super Bowl, so why wouldn't he have been down? And I don't know if those other guys were, but I know Paul Rudd was at least.
Yeah, I thought I saw him as well. They didn't do as many crowd shots, I didn't think, in the game yesterday. I don't know what that was. We didn't see Taylor Swift quite as much. We didn't see the president as much as I thought we might. Maybe that's just not really the Fox way of producing games. If the game would have been on CBS or NBC, maybe we would have gotten Taylor Swift just stuffed down our throat over and over and over again. We didn't get her quite as much last night. But yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the National Football League making the decision that they did. And if I'm any of those individuals that I just mentioned, I'm like, hey, where was my phone call? Why did Ham get the call? But not me. All right, we are going to jump back into baseball. We are in Jupiter, Florida. We are at Cardinals spring training. What are some of the storylines as we get ready for pitchers and catchers to report tomorrow? Also, don't forget, we've got the SLU Basketball Coaches Show. It's going to start after the 7 o'clock news. I almost talked in Eastern time. After the 7 o'clock news is when that's going to be. Josh Schertz is going to be with us as that's going to originate from Westport Social. So you'll certainly want to stick around for that. But we're back into baseball. We'll do that next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line as we broadcast from Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training pitchers and catchers report tomorrow. We are going to be in the Cardinals clubhouse tomorrow morning talking with folks, and we'll start bringing you that audio as soon as the show tomorrow and throughout the entire run of spring training. Myself and or Tom Ackerman will be here in addition to folks from the Cardinals radio network like John Rooney, Ricky Horton, and of course Mike Claiborne as well. Saw this, so ESPN ran on ESPN.com, did kind of a preseason roundtable with all their various insiders. And something was, the question was, which player who has changed teams this winter are you most interested in seeing in a new uniform? And this published, when did this publish? I think it published earlier today. Today, February 10th. So this published first thing this morning, and this is what, you know, the point of this article was not to break news. The point of this article was to talk through, you know, storylines going into the Major League Baseball season. But this is what Buster Olney said when answering that question. He wrote, Alex Bregman, who is likely to land with the Red Sox, Cubs, or Tigers soon, sources in the Astros organization are skeptical he'll return to Houston. And then he goes on to say what it might look like in all of those places. Like you said, if he goes to Fenway Park, he could pepper the Green Monster while relearning the nuances of playing in the middle infield. So then he goes to Chicago. Anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But two things that jump out at me at that. Because, again, as people are interested in what the Cardinals are going to do and have a vested interest in this Nolan Arenado thing getting figured out, it's so connected to Alex Bregman. And when I see Olney write that, and this is where I start doing the thing that I'm looking way too deep into it. When he lists those three teams, he lists the Red Sox first, the Cubs second, and the Tigers third. Now, he didn't say in that that's how he's putting together the odds are, you know, his personal odds. But I feel like if I'm going to write something about, if I think there's a player who's going to sign with two or three teams and I'm writing it or I'm saying it, just naturally, the team that I think is the highest probability of them landing at is going to be the team that I mentioned second, and I'm going to go down from there. Now, maybe that's not the case here whatsoever, because it's never really felt like the Red Sox were the odds-on favorite to land Bregman. In fact, somebody asked me this morning at the airport where I thought Bregman was going to end up, and I said I thought he was going to end up back with the Houston Astros. That if he was going to go to one of these other places, he would have already signed on the dotted line. He would have already committed, where if he's holding out hope to go back to the Astros, the only reason to wait this long is to possibly see how much more the Astros are going to up their deal. And I guess the devil's advocate on that would be, well, he could be doing the same for any of those other teams. He could be waiting to see how much Boston's going to up their deal or how much the Cubs are going to up their deal. And I guess that's true. To me, I see it a little bit differently. When you're going with the unknown, it feels like what they offered is what they are going to offer. And maybe they can tweak a little something here, or tweak a little something there. But it's the Astros who have seemingly made some moves. They're the team where Jose Altuve is going to go out and play in left field if he's willing to do it. They're the team who just recently, reportedly, did increase the financial offer on their deal, not to a point where it was going to entice Bregman to sign, but there was movement. We don't hear about the Red Sox adding to their offer. We don't hear about the Cubs or the Tigers adding to their offers, really. We hear about the Astros. So if he's going to sit here and wait this thing out, it feels like he's waiting it out for the Astros. But what Olney says right here kind of goes against that. And if the Red Sox really are the leader, and when you look at these teams, first off, all these teams have the financial ability to do it. Red Sox, Cubs, and Tigers, especially the Red Sox and Cubs, but even the Tigers. And look, they've got some guys on their team right now. They're just coming off an incredible run to get into the playoffs. And the window might be closing in a couple years when they don't have Skubal anymore, assuming that they don't keep him, which seems like a likely scenario. If you're doing all that, you go all in with Bregman to try to give yourself a best chance to win a World Series. But I keep going back to the fact that Olney mentions the Red Sox first. And I think that is the worst possible scenario for the Cardinals, because my belief is that Nolan Arenado will be a member of the Boston Red Sox if Alex Bregman is not. That's where I'm at right now. I think that is going to happen. And there's been some rumblings out here recently that maybe the Red Sox could just go to that plan B before Bregman even signs a deal, because almost getting frustrated with how long this whole thing is taking. Maybe, but I read this and I say, okay, is Bregman to the Red Sox a real thing? It's likely to get figured out this week. Hopefully by the time that we are doing this show come Friday, we can sit here and have more of a definitive answer on where Bregman is going to be. And that could result in a better answer on where Nolan Arenado is going to be. Arenado not in camp with the Cardinals, doesn't have to be in camp yet with the Cardinals. And if Arenado is still a Cardinal and Bregman hasn't signed with anybody yet, and we get to the point where full squad report date comes, I will be very interested to see how that whole situation ends up being handled, because it's going to turn into just not a PR nightmare, that's a bad way, but just that's going to be the only thing anybody is talking about. All right, one more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the program, just a one-hour show today before we get you to the SLU Basketball Coaches Show with Coach Schertz. We'll do that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes or so left here in the program, just a one-hour edition of the show tonight, because we've got the SLU Basketball Coaches Show. Coach Schertz is going to be with Bob Ramsey for the next hour after the 8 o'clock news, live at Westport Social. So if you're looking for a place to be tonight, you can stop on by Westport Social. It's just a great establishment for sure. And check it out for yourself and enjoy the SLU Coaches Show this evening. So here is the kind of the schedule of what's going to happen over the next 48 hours or so here down in Jupiter. We're broadcasting live for Cardinals spring training. The Cardinals are going to have pitchers and catchers officially report tomorrow. They'll take physicals. They'll do all the sort of stuff that they need to do as they sort of do their intake. And then on Wednesday is going to be the first official workout for pitchers and catchers. Now, that being said, a lot of position players are already here. Brendan Donovan and Michael Ciani, among others, are players who have already arrived, and they can kind of just do their own thing and do whatever they want to do during this time before we eventually get to the position player full squad report date. So pitchers and catchers reporting tomorrow. We are going to hear from Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak officially for the first time on Wednesday. So it'll be another day or so before we hear from those guys. But a lot of things are happening here over the next couple days on what is expected to be an interesting camp for sure. A lot of uncertainties when it comes to this team this year. That is it for the program. Don't go anywhere, though. We've got the Slew Bilkins Coaches Show, Coach Shirts, talking with Bob Ramsey for the next hour after the 8 o'clock news right here on KMOX.